I love having a movie that I look forward to seeing. Somebody will say, "What movie would you like to see?" And I never know how to respond. But Won't You Be My Neighbor is that movie. Many of you have probably already seen it. I see lots of heads nodding. So for those of you who haven't, it's about Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. And kindness was central to his message, kindness and acceptance. He didn't want people to feel or to be made to feel less than. He said the greatest thing we can do is to help someone to know that they are loved and capable of loving. If you Google Mr. Rogers and kindness, one of the videos that comes up, it's amidst several titles about the radical kindness of Mr. Rogers. But one is a short piece from his show, and it's entitled Mr. Rogers' Message on Kindness. He explains kindness right there in less than 30 seconds. And when I told my daughter Hannah about it, right away she said, "Oh, I remember that one." She's 24. So Mr. Rogers steps into the room like he does, and he pulls the door behind him, closed behind him. And then in this scene, just to date it, he's handling, just in his hand, he has a VHS tape that I guess he's going to plug in to later. Oh, do you know Mr. Rogers' middle name? You don't know? It's McFeely. Remember Mr. McFeely. It's Fred McFeely Rogers. So he closes the door. He's wearing his cardigan sweater. I assume he's already put on his sneakers, you know, slipped on his shoes. And he's holding that VHS tape and just as he's talking. But then he looks at the camera, but it's really at you. And he says, "Did you ever have anybody hurt your feelings? Did anyone ever say something that made you feel really small and not very lovable?" That feels awful, doesn't it? But isn't it nice when somebody helps you feel good about who you are? I mean, if you look for it, you'll probably find something fine inside of everybody. The greatest thing we can do, he said, is to help someone to know that they are loved and capable of loving. I wrote that December, a month of holidays and holy days, can feel like the most surprisingly unkind time of the year. It's all about loving and expressing that, but then we have those times of not feeling very lovable. Almost every day, I'm witness to and part of interactions where the people involved, myself included, have a choice as to how they will respond or what remark they will make. And often, let's say, they don't make the kind choice, the caring, compassionate choice, the thoughtful choice of the word. They're focused on themselves and what they are doing. They say something negative rather than generous. Often it's justified because they are right in their eyes and in their world they're moving through. And I don't think any of these people think of themselves as unkind. In the newsletter, I told about asking someone who was helping coordinate a meal for a large group. They were participating in this, trying to make it happen, how it was going. And they replied, "I think it is coming together fine, but I could use a little more kindness." A little more kindness. I knew something about their situation, and I knew that they could have used a little more kindness. I felt it. I felt it in myself because I had those moments where I just wanted to go and cry because I could use a little more kindness. And that moment of compassion, that caring with, caused me to pause, and the words touched my heart. A little more kindness. I heard what they said as a holiday wish. It also raised the phrase in my awareness, and it then became a bit of personal reflection or a lens or a guide, as it were, that I've carried with me in a way that I hadn't before. And as I've thought about it, you can think about the experience of a good meal where this person was making this reference. You can think of it as something that we know. And I think it can serve as a good guide for kindness in anything we do. We want people to enjoy the dishes. We want them to enjoy themselves. We are careful with the food. Careful with the food. What if we put as much care into how we are treating others as we are into how the recipes come together and the tables look? What if we thought of kindness as an essential ingredient in every dish of our lives, something we bring to the table of life? I'd like a little more kindness, please. Pass the kindness. In my column, I also acknowledged a general feeling of unease and edginess, a sense of dis-ease. Where has common courtesy gone? And more generally, it feels like we are absorbing an attitude from the world and the politics around us. And then I told how my acupuncturist just got back from a 3-month RV trip that took in much of Western Canada. He is a person who connects with anybody. You just start talking to him and he knows somebody because he's networked by connecting with all these people. And as we caught up a little at the beginning of my appointment, without any prompting on my part, he shared, as I told you in the column, that he had made 14 ferry crossings in British Columbia. And he said all were relaxed and friendly. It was on his first ferry back into the United States that he said he noticed a difference. There was an edge, and I hadn't said anything about what I was thinking about. People seemed less kind. Why regard people this way, he asked. What is gained? That ferry didn't run any better than the other ones. Where had the humor, inclusion, kindness, and engagement gone? Our country is our ferry. A little more kindness, please. 2 weeks ago, Reverend Jeff Jones gave a wonderful talk about the wisdom Jesus. How many of you were here? Yeah. Jesus as teacher and exemplar of, as Jeff summarized, moving toward love and compassion, away from a judgmental and dualistic worldview, into an acceptance of the oneness of life. Letting go of life alienating separation that we impose on this beautifully, divinely inspired, unified creation that we share. If you were here, remember when he shared the parable of the Good Samaritan. He reminded us that Samaritans were the sworn enemy of the Jews. And then Jeff asked us to, quote, call to mind the person whom you find it hardest to love. And then he paused. Then he said, that is the very person Jesus is asking us to be compassionate toward with our money, with our time, and with our empathy of understanding. In the very next sentence, Jeff included that Cynthia Borgo, the author whose text he was working with, reminds us that Jesus taught us to love your neighbor as yourself. We know that. Love your neighbor as yourself. But she notes that he did not teach us to love your neighbor as much as yourself, but as a continuation of your very own being. Love your neighbor as a continuation of your very own being. This is a central point, and I'll come back to it in a few minutes. But I bring it up here because of what happened after the service. Several people said they got stuck when they called the person they found hardest to love. They got stuck thinking about, given their political persuasion, about our president and their reactions to him, and they couldn't get beyond their stuckness and their reactions in that moment. Well, yeah, I get that, but that's not the point. They got, I think we get, stuck there because we realized, that sort of light bulb went on in our discussion, that being stuck in that place and those emotions affected how we consider and move into the next sentence, which was, love your neighbor as much as yourself. Don't focus on that neighbor, but just loving your neighbor as much as yourself, not as much as yourself, but as a continuation of your very own being. It blocked us from loving our neighbor, our neighbors, in the ways we might. This strong experience of anger and rejection are separating us, keeping us from feeling the connection of our neighbor as a continuation of our very own being. We were blocked in the moment in the service, and we are blocked to some degree as we move around in our lives. And the result is what? A less kind community, a less kind world. What we are absorbing is real, and that means that we have to get real and intentional in our efforts to counter it, in our efforts for kindness. We need to change kindness from a sentimental notion we get to on occasion to a determined practice we make a part of who we are. Buddhism does just that. It takes kindness seriously. Buddhism organizes itself around the practice of kindness. The meditation that we did this morning is called Metta Meditation. How is metta translated? Loving kindness or goodwill. The expression of goodness toward all. Think back to how the loving kindness meditation moved. It was a progression that began where? With yourself, being kind to yourself, and moved out to take in all beings. Kindness begins with you and to you, then your loved ones, then indifferent persons, then difficult persons. It even says, your enemy. May my enemy be well, happy, and peaceful. And then to all beings. You can think of it as a form of the wisdom Jesus practice unpacked. Your neighbor as yourself, a continuation of your own being, and all beings as a continuation of being. On Friday, Catherine loaned me her copy of Lion's Roar, and it's called Buddhist Wisdom to Awaken Your Heart and Mind. That's almost the same language as Jeff was using. The cover emphasizes kindness. Kindness. And then it says, life's magic ingredient. Buddhist techniques for being kinder to yourself and everyone else. The central section announces where and how making a difference starts in its title. And its title announces, a kinder world begins where? With you. A kinder world begins not out there, but with you. The central piece on kindness is organized around the loving kindness meditation progression. Each section begins, be kind to. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to your loved ones. Be kind to neutral people. Be kind to difficult people. Be kind to everyone. And each section concludes with simple advice then on ways to practice, practical wisdom. Be kind to difficult people begins by saying that true kindness means being kind even when you're tempted not to be. It then acknowledges how very hard it is to do and uses phrases like, to the extent possible. But then the first line of what the author calls the five-step recipe for extreme kindness brings everything back to intention and importance. Quote, realize that kindness is your job. I can see many of you who don't want to take on that job, but realize that kindness is your job. It doesn't matter how many hours you do other practices, kindness is your true spiritual work, and it depends solely on you. Do you want to live in a kinder world? Do not neglect your own duties, 13th century Zen master Dogen said. A side note that all the ways to practice are useful and insightful, but I'd like to hold up one that makes that distinction between being kind and being nice. It says, let go of being nice. Being nice can be superficial as well as inauthentic and lazy. Then goes on to say, being nice can actually cover up those opportunities to connect. We must challenge ourselves into a deeper engagement around kindness and our expression of love for others. I now hear what the Dalai Lama said. My religion is simple. My religion is kindness. I now hear it as words of religious orientation. A simple, powerful, power-filled orientation to life and love. Can be a moral compass. Make it simple. Is it kind? Am I being kind to other beings? I hear kindness, and don't get confused that kindness and nice, sometimes kindness is tough, but am I being kind? I hear kindness as being of my kind, of my kin, of my family. It's with the wisdom Jesus, the transformative wisdom of Jesus, where love your neighbor as yourself doesn't mean love your neighbor as much as yourself, but as a continuation of your very own being. Am I taking care of as if it were my very own being? What do we say about universalism? One family, one origin, one nature, one destiny, one family of being. Kindness becomes love, live. Universalism made real. It's more than an act, but a manifestation of a relational way of being, a simple guide and practice for what it means to live well. I was going to end with a story that I first heard over 25 years ago during my ministerial internship in St. Petersburg. But it's a story that's now become the stuff of Christmas legend, you might say. And in hearing it again, I was hoping we leave with a moment of kindness felt and made real. But as I heard it again in my mind, in light of today's reflection, I realized that a whole new reflection begins here upon hearing it. So I won't take you through that whole reflection, but I'll ask you to take it with you and reflect on kindness. It's one you may have heard, but it's the story of Wallace Perling. Wallace Perling was in the second grade in a school somewhere in the Midwest. He was supposed to be in third or fourth grade, so he was bigger than the other children in his class. And he wanted to be in the Christmas pageant. And Mrs. Lammert, he wanted to be a shepherd and play the flute. But Mrs. Lammert knew that he had trouble remembering his lines and knowing when to come in. And so she made him the innkeeper. And all he had to say was, there's no room in the inn. There's no room in the inn. And so Mary and Joseph come up, knock on the door, and he comes to them, and Joseph says, we're looking for a room. And he says, I'm sorry, there's no room in the inn. And then Joseph says, but Mary is pregnant and with child and soon to deliver, and we've been traveling all these miles and all the other inns are closed. We need a room for the night. And he said, he just pauses in that moment listening to her, and the prompter says from the side, from the wings, says, be gone. Be gone, there's no room. And so he goes, be gone. Be gone, there's no room. And they do that another time, and then Mary and Joseph begin to go off, and you can see Wallace's face change, and he begins to cry. And then he gets this big smile, and he goes, wait, come back. You can have my room. In that moment, there were some people who thought, oh, he's blown his lines, you know. But there were others who thought that that was the greatest Christmas pageant ever. So if you think about this, think about that story and go a little deeper than nice, and unpack the kindness. It really is a gift of a little more kindness that Wallace brings to life. Many of the steps recommended for the practice of loving kindness can be seen in what he does, but that's for another time. But Wallace took a moment, think about that, from the pressure of the task. He took a moment from his role. He took a moment from the prompter in his head telling him what to say, wait, come back. You can have my room. He stepped out of his role. He made, in that moment, the kind choice. We have such moments and choices every day, all the time. What will we choose? In his moment of kindness, he let Joseph and Mary become the real people he knew. They were not objects in a play. That's the first time I realized we don't know their names from the story. We just know Mary and Joseph. But Wallace knew them. He knew their names. They weren't Mary and Joseph. They were his friends. In that moment, they became his real friends, not an issue in front of him, and they needed a room, a little more kindness, humane becoming about people in community. Won't you be my neighbor? Yes, you are my neighbor. Think about what's happening on our border with Mexico and the separation of children, or think about people just being lined up, and there's an obvious parallel with there's no room in the inn. You'll probably hear that. Think about 2 days ago when we heard about that 7-year-old girl, and I wish I knew her name, Jacqueline, from Guatemala, died from dehydration. Now, we hear the objective knowledge of, well, she was picked up and it was this and that and the other. Where's the humane knowing and becoming? As I think about all of this, and that's why you can see that could be a whole nother service, I'm challenged by kindness. What does it mean to say, you can have my room? If not give it to you literally, will I make room in my privilege and comfort? Will I make room in my time for you and what you need? Will I make room in the busyness of my day to sit with you and not attack you with what I need to get done and have done in my schedule to make it real? Will I love my neighbor as a continuation of my own being? Think about it. Do you want to live in a kinder world? How many cards do you send out that say, peace on earth, goodwill, loving kindness to all? Kindness is your true spiritual work, and it depends solely on you. So let us challenge ourselves into a deeper engagement around kindness in our expression of love for others. Let that be our holiday wish. So in order to find my way, I take out, what? My religious compass, and I get oriented. Dalai Lama, my religion is simple. My religion is kindness. And so we practice a little more kindness, day by day, moment by moment, person by person, being by being. May it be so. Thank you, neighbor.